accession number 9339, reel 3.
Mr. William Holbrook, Reel 3. What other duties would the barrack orderlies do?
Well, there's the, as I say, coal parade. There's two men out there every barrack room. You should line up the big coal box. There's a metal, big metal coal box. And you have to go to the coal yard and fill it. And it was called a coal parade. There'd be three people, so there'd be quite a number of men with all these big metal boxes. You should put it on your shoulder. And you told one end of it, and he'd hold the other like that. So you carried it on your shoulders. Because you have to take the coal to the barrack room, the barrack quarters, the sergeants in the barrack quarters, what they get. So we used to take coal to them, and we used to do all look at this coal plate. It was a heavy old job too, it was. And we should, what they used to call it? Oh, you call it going to the local show, the Grip of Iron, they used to call it. It's good in his iron. And if you got a, see, if you got a fella shorter than you, you would obviously try to get, because he had the weight of the coal on his shoulder, and he was in the middle, obviously. So when he was struggling on the woman's shoulder, see, he was going down onto his shoulder. Anyway, he used to have the coal braid, and we had a sergeant. He was, he should see to all this, Sergeant Burke. What's your name there? I forget your Christian name. He'd been to India. He's dried up. He looked like a dried up piece of flesh. That's all he looked like. He was a man about 40 or so. He's done about 20 more years in the army. And he was in charge. He's all these sort of jobs in charge of cleaning the lamps. So he didn't do it himself, but he saw that they were done. And, Patsy Burke. And we used to say, Patsy Burke, the sanitary clerk, he's been up the ship all night. Anyway, what he used to do, the lavatories were in rows, like a long row there, and they backed onto another row there, just back to back with a thin partition between, you see, and all outside lavatories. And this Patsy Burke, he used to, see, they were all flushed, and they were flushed from one end. All 12 toilets were flushed from, he used to come along with a iron bar, and then put this iron bar up, a hook at the end and pull the chain, and just flush right all the whole suite right at the end. And of course, what they used to do, it's called the rise up. He used to come along miserable. He was rise up, rise up, rise up. And we had to go, get up. What do you do with rise up? Said all badly. And then he pulled the chain. So he said, what the fellas used to do, if they saw him coming, they start making a noise. And so some of the fellas on the toilet couldn't hear him. They couldn't even say rise up. So they'd be sitting there, all of a sudden they'd be hit with all the flush coming through the whole toilet. Oh, he was a miserable devil. I don't know what happened to him in the end. But he's just like a dried up prune. Oh, he'd been to India, all the blood been taken out of him or something. Patsy Burke.
You say the food was better. What would the food be like?
Oh,
Barracks.
Go to breakfast and you had something. It wasn't wonderful, but it was much better. You'd have a certain thing for breakfast. You wouldn't have eggs or bacon, anything like that. But when you'd have there's jam and things like that for breakfast. We didn't get the other place, and we kept it down again to get. And dinner was we should have lots of what they call sea pies, and they were a stew in a big metal container, and on the top of that was a layer of suet, like boiled pudding, like dumpling. And they just come and cut it out properly and give you a plate, and you'd have your suet pudding and your sea pie, and then you'd have something after, like a sweet of some kind, some fruit, stewed fruits of that sort of thing. So it's altogether different. And if you wanted a bit more, you'd have it.
Was there still a mad rush?
No. Oh, no, it's all orderly there. You had to, in order to place, you knew your position there and that sort of thing. And you didn't take any knife or fork out of there, it was all laid on the table for you. No tablecloth in there, but I mean, it was just the bare
had plates here, not your canteens. Had plates.
Did you get enough?
Yes, yes. Plenty of food there. And they used to, of course, the canteens you could buy food, but because I didn't have money, but this will make you laugh. In my barrack room, I said, as you went in the door, like there, come here, the sergeant major's bunk was outside. So you had to pass his bunk to come into the barrack room. He was in charge of you there, sergeant major, charge of four or five different barrack rooms. Well, a fellow with me, his name was Smith, Buster Smith, he was getting the full pay, he was. But the sergeant major, he used to go over to the sergeant's mess, they had been building on sergeant's mess, they'd the sergeant, set their place all together. It was all orderly, done in a nice way. And the sergeant major, Jimmy James, he'd come in this way, he put tuppence around, and he'd say, two, that's all he'd say, two. And we had to go, yes sir, we had to go to the canteen and get a basin of tea for tuppence and take it in what he said. He didn't get any tea, he used to get in his bunk after every midday meal. So what we used to do, we found out after, I said, take a bus for Smith. That's what I said. This is the company cook was afraid of the sergeant major, would do anything for me. So I should take the ordinary basin that the sergeant major gave us. We had a big bun of our own. And I just go down to the cookhouse and say, Jimmy, sergeant major's tea, please. Because he wanted to be friendly with the sergeant major, go and get all bloody tea, you know, not like canteen tea, all weak stuff. He almost drawn tea, you know, so not charged for it. So I had to go back. And this old, what's his name there? Buster Smith. He'd be waiting inside a bag with the window open. And I hadn't got a pass to Sergeant Major Bunk, things come on the back side of the bag. He'd open, I'd hand the big basin of tea into him, or six on tea. He'd go inside, get the Sergeant Major small basin he had. Used to pour some in, that's not water ready, pour, make it thin like the sort of weak tea, you know, I can't eat tea. And I said, Sergeant, tea, sir, I was going to tea, get his basin of this tea then. And we'd have a bit. Big base and loved to tea ourselves and tuppence every day. That month for weeks and weeks and weeks. We used to keep his tuppence and a lot of money. Every day we kept tuppence and gave him the canteen tea, never knew it. Never found out. And the fellow used to say, who pieces the sergeant major's tuppence? They said, because he didn't hear them. They say, oh, but so he said, here, you know. We did for weeks. Oh, Buster didn't see him now standing at the window with his small basin. I'd pour some in. He'd have some hot water ready. Make it weak, and I go down and I knock at his door and I say, come in, you see, and I'll say, your tea, sir. And he loved him. He got killed at Levante, Buster Smith. He liked him much, and I was with him when he died. That he was, he was a nice chap. He was about, be about 20, I suppose.
What kit and uniform had you been given when you became a regular?
Oh, we had red tunics and. Either bearskin, but hat, you know, bearskin, the things.
Can you describe in a bit more detail the uniform?
Oh, it's a red uniform with blue, what they call facings, and white stripe down the, and special buttons they had, and your trousers was blue trousers with a red stripe down the side, and because you had army boots on, and then you had a khaki cap, you had. The ordinary soldier's cap, which you didn't have in the special reserve, you had a little Glengarry sort of thing. But then you had a Busby, they gave you that, so that was your party kit. So on parade you wore that. On parade you had to wear, you know what the fuse was dressed, you don't have the Busbys and that sort of thing. Well, you had one of those, and they had to get those clean. My God, they've got those all right. You'd have to be brushed and cleaned and all sort of things on parade.
So you'd wear your red uniform on parade. What would you wear when you were training? And
a khaki.
So you never saw these white canvas affairs again?
Oh, we did have canvas here, but didn't use it much. It wasn't used much at all, khaki. It was there, if you wanted, if any special dirty jobs, you'd use it. And but not on parade like they did in the special reserves.
Was the training pretty much the same, or was it more rigorous?
It wasn't a rough sort of life, you know. It's a more refined, as you know, I call it refined for the troops, but it was compared with the Hound of Heath. And their special... The sergeants were different. The officers were the same. The sergeants were very strict. They were, and well, they weren't in the special reserve so much. And you did praise there. You did in sections or platoons, where there you did in a whole line of this in the special reserve. Yes, you had platoons there, and there was four platoons a company. There was in those days there was eight companies of battalion. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, and I was in F company. and their captain is the captain, Captain Dan Smith. He got killed at Monmouth. And he used to, every, because we had a proper, beds were different, you know, you had to be very, very clean in the barrack. I mean, and every Friday he used to have the kit inspection. And this kit inspection, you had to put on your bed all that you possessed. You see, you have lying the bottom of your bed, now you might pop these things, and they'd have, and you used to have a whole, you have, I'd say, knife, fork, spoon, razor comb, and lather brush. You used to be, I could tell all, even now I can tell this.
Carry on, okay.
The knife, fork, spoon, razor comb, and lather brush. And there'd be what they call housewife. They'd have your cottons and needles and things like that. Then you'd have all your parts of the uniform, like your car, which you ain't got on, or the red uniform, whatever you've got. And that'd be in the top of the bed. Then there'd be various other things, you know, like parts of your kit. And then there'd be housewife and all that sort of thing, and hold all with the knives and clothes and that sort of thing. And then after that, there'd be a pair of shoes, but you know, you had a pair of shoes shown, bottom up and turned up, was, you know, so the soles was clean and didn't want repairing. Then on the end, there'd be on the bottom corner wall, there'd be a piece of soap and a sponge. And that was your old kit, and you'd show this every Friday. And the officer would come along, and if he thought you were doing well and very clean, he could, postpone yours for a month, so you only show once a month, you see. But if it was untidy, you could do it every Friday. And Bowden Smith, he had a little white dog, and every Friday he'd come along. He'd been out in Tibet, on the Tibet campaign, and he stuttered a bit, or lisped a bit, through the, and he blinked, and he's a had snow blindness out there, so he's blinking a lot. So I remember this particular morning, I hadn't got any soap, see, so I went to buy a piece of cheese from one of the fellows, you know, another back room was on duty, and this flat piece of cheese about that size, like a piece of sunlight, so I smoothed it all around, you know, like you mean wash it with it, see, and put this cheese down on the corner. So there's then long had Down Smith in there, and he's like, this was a leak of a bit. And went along, and the dog went up to my bed and started eating the cheese, you see. He's right at the end. So I remember coming round, he says, there's a funny piece of soap in it, he said. My dog eat. And of course, they don't know what it was, and I got pinched for that. Another thing we used to do, the barrack rooms used to be, you entered the door, and there's a row of beds, about 13 beds, and you go down the end and turn on the other side, you see. So long to come down to Smith and look at him a bit. So when he got about two, 3 metres along, the other person said, I should throw back, the phone would be short or something, so about short of a comb or something. And we throw it, like the catch and put it down. So he's going around and find out they have a full kit, and they bottle it half on bottle from the other side. They throw them over and catch them. See, from
but why did things go missing? Was it stealing or was it just life?
Lost them. Well, they're stealing, yes, they steal the things. We used to have what they call a cupboard above the bed in the Hounslow, which we didn't at Hounslow Heath. And you know, you could keep all lot of things in the cupboard. And if a fellow wanted to borrow something, say you wanted to borrow a knife, or and you weren't there, because if you were there, you'd lend it to him. But they go up and say, you'd be away from your bed, you see. They go, knock at the Bill, he'd say to himself, yes, can I borrow your knife? Yes, take it. He'd be answering himself, and he'd don't take it. Oh, that's the family there, they were.
There wasn't any serious theft, though. It was just...
No. And there was nothing like that. They had no money, of course, and it was there 6 shillings a week, as they then...
Did you object to the spit and polish, the bull, or whatever you'd like
no,
to call it?
No, it was something to do, you see. You had to blank over your belts and polish, blacken your shoes and... Yeah, boot brushes. You know. I've still got some of them now. Yeah, boot brushes, lovely things, though. You couldn't buy them like that. And hairbrush, oh, yeah, that was another thing I put down. A hairbrush, comb, razor, but I didn't shave, so I didn't let on me. But you know, didn't have a safety, you had an open razor, you know. He'd come round me, say, you don't shave, do you? I said, no, sir. And he'd pass on, you see. You shaved this morning? Yes, sir. And very good, but they hadn't had a good one. They had to shave open razors, no safety razors, of course. Oh no, they were. I shaved went to France for a few times, and I used an open razor. But it was all right. Because you got hot water to shave, I don't know, I can't think of getting hot water. Some would be able to make a little. We often straighten their tea that I did in the morning. the teas come in the teapot, in a cup. They had mugs in those days, mug each, you see, not like they did in the other place, basins. And it was all sort of different. And what they used to do, when they come by the tea pile and give it a mug of tea, but they'd pop into the wash house and shave in that. It's hot. So you put
we were talking about the training. What was that like?
Oh, so we had put the gymnasium there every morning from 9 or 10 to 11. We had our gymnastics. And there we had a sergeant, gymnastics sergeant, and of course it was a full gymnasium, there were all sorts of contraptions there, up on the bars, pulleys, ropes, sort of something like that. And he was very strict, and he was a full manly chap. I saw him one day, put it on he got a bar, a piece of lead about 2 inches square. He's doing this for show, and of course, what's he got? And he stuck it on the stand. And got this sword, they go and cut it clean off, 2 inches of lead. And what was he doing? You cut lead with a sword, he goes in about a dent almost, quarter of an inch and more. Cut it clean off, he could.
Did it make you stronger? I mean, did you get fitter?
Well, I like gymnastics, yes. So I used to, every morning, you could do that, 9 to 10 or 10 to 11. And
but did it build you up?
Yes. Once a day, I had to do that for three. I did drilling. I like gymnastics, that. I put up the ropes and jump off the shelves and, oh, God, no, we didn't have to do. And, obviously, I like that a lot, the gymnastics. And we had bayonet fighting and did a lot of running and different into shooting, but the rangers were shooting, they're there.
And you do a lot of running?
Yes, well, I'll tell you something about the shooting. There you shot for your pay, you see. I only got to shoot in a week. I get an extra 6 months a day for my shooting if I got the first class shot. So the range used to be out the barracks, a big range. So I remember the particular occasion for the Mr. Lionel Rowe, you know, shooting. We used to have to do 500 rounds a year on the practice, on the real course. Practicing, we didn't mind practicing, but you had a course of 500 rounds. And you had to pass out this course. There was marksman, first class, second class, third class shot. You see? So if he became marked, 6 months a day extra pay. I was a very good shot, and I remember this occasion. We used to have to fire 15 rounds a minute. We used to lie down there with three pouches of 5 rounds, you know, a clips of 5 rounds, 2 pouches, unloaded rifle, lying on the butt of the rifle, and you used to have to load, unload, load, unload, 15 rounds a minute, and fire the 12 minute, 15, like a machine gun almost. So I was very good, and I remember on one occasion. Oh, it was fine, slow shooting this bit today, by half through five the other. And the fellow next to me, his name Harper, I remember this well. He got killed in Delver Wood, they all got killed in his brothers. And he's a better, wasn't very good shot. So I said, Jack, no, was it Dick. I said, Dick, how you getting up? Oh, sorry, I was trying to get my pay, he said. I said, well, how many shots you fired? Because he was lying to the one night, another, but in a foot of one another, it's a matter of. I said, how many shots have I already still fired? 10. I said, what have you got left? I said, I've got 5 left. I said, I've already passed out of my 10. I said, I've got 5 spare ones. But they didn't know. I said, now, for God's sake, look, you fire on my target. But hit the target, for God's sake. So I fired 15 now. I said, and I'll fire on yours. So I gave me 5 bullseyes on my last shot. He hit the target some sort, but the other shot they didn't know. And he got 6 months. They paid for 12 months over that. My father putting the 5 shots on his target.
How did they train you to get up to 15 shots a minute? I mean, was it just practice or?
Oh yes, you had it some time, and he was the instigator of it.
Colonel
McMahon. He was a muster instructor hired before he came. Well, he's in the Royal Fusiliers, but there's a big appointment that was in charge of all the musket school. And then when the air colonel died or retired. He being the fusilier left, he came to take over. And of course, he introduced before he came to the regiment, or the army, British army, everybody fired the bullseyes. It was a target with the bull, inner, outer, and magpie, what they call it. That's what that's 4, 3, 2, 1. And the outer got nothing for that. Well, he hadn't been there long, but he introduced the final of figures. All the target scrapped. and all the firing, the British Army, men in khaki running and bending, and all that, as they beat on a battlefield, you see. You should like, oh, yeah.
And did he introduce special techniques to enable people to fire 15, or did he just introduce special training so that people got used to it?
Just trained for a bit, it's all, not for long. And it was so rapid, the fire was, what he introduced, you know, that the Germans at Mons thought the machine guns that fired so rapidly.
How did you get up to? How long did it take you before you were able to fire that fast, or did you take to it naturally? Or?
No, that's what I'm doing the natural way. I was a very good shot.
But about the speed of firing, did that come quickly on?
Yes, I could do that. I could do it and have a few seconds to spare in the 16. I could do it quite easily, and they never any bothered me. Some were, you know, a bit slow and had a lot of training, but I never did. I took a shooter like a that doesn't water. You know.
Did you still have the Longley Enfield or
Longley Enfield? We had, yes. Maybe that's the short one during the war. Before the war came.
What did you think of the Longley Enfield? Did you like it?
They were heavier. Well, I didn't know any other, you see. It was the only one I knew of. And they introduced the more accurate one. Well, the other was accurate. But they're not so heavy. And easier for drilling, too, you know. They're not parade. They weren't so heavy.
Marches?
Yes.
What would you get? Would you get a reaction when you went
people,
civilians, people, yeah?
Well, they all shot. They were regular. It was an army.
At Hounslow, I mean, really.
Oh, Hounslow. Yes, a bit, but it was a big place, you see, and we did this much route miles, only probably a few miles, but of course we got the regular army in there, it was different areas, yes. We spent something like 10, 15 miles.
And what would the public do?
Well, they were right, they could be a little cheer as you go along, you know. You do it on a special day, it was on Friday. It was called the route miles day, Friday. And we had a fellow there that, in the barrack room, that when they came back, from the route march, this particular day, he was missing. He was in my barrack room too. And they waited, and he turned up, and they couldn't find what had happened to him. And we've never seen again, not from barracks, the fellow. So about 4 months afterwards, he's arrested in London as a deserter. He'd run to London. When I saw him after, he got about 6 months, I suppose, in detention. When he came out into the barrack room again, he said to me that he was running and saw his chance. One of Maple's furniture vans was going by. He said he slipped out of the banks, got behind that and said, ran all that London. He said the fellows helped him and he just about 4 or 5 months. He ran to London and Maple's furniture van.
Yes, can you remember any other training you did while you were at Hounslow Barracks?
No, this would be the band of fighting and shooting there, and there was the train on parade and church parade, of course, another parade. They go every Sunday to the church. I've got a picture of the church parade, I'll show you when you come in. And
what was the church parade like?
Oh, that was, I do it in red tunes and busby then, and that's when the only time we used on those special parades like guard duties. But the other chins, they used to say, Sunday they'd say, in bed or out of barracks. If you didn't spend Sunday going to church, in bed or out of barracks, it's a washout. Anyway, quite good, yeah. But there'd be thousands lined on the streets of Hounslow, because all the Reds were in the full French uniform, you know. And there used to be lots of people there then to go to church. But we said every Sunday, I don't need any other parade. Not there. But in Ireland, when I won't get to this yet, that's afterwards.
Well, actually leading on to that, how long was it before you went to Ireland?
Oh, about 6 months. I'd never been out. I went to by train to from Euston, where I'd never been before. I went to Holyhead. God, it's like a foreign country to me.
Were you on your own, or was the rest
of about
the whole battalion?
Oh, no, joining the battalion, we new recruits going there, actually, reinforcing the battalion that was there, Mullingar.
And which battalion was that?
And so we went from Hounslow to the 4th battalion, it was part of the 4th battalion that was there. And I went there, and when I got to Dublin, I was saying it was trade of night in Dublin, I think it was, in some barracks there. And They had to go to Mullingar, at the middle, right in the middle of Ireland, the Athlone Way, and that was about, it's over 50 miles. And it was summertime then, you see, February, May, I've been there about 6 months the other way. And it was a hot January, full pack marching order, you know. And I was only about, 16 then, I suppose, yeah, about 16, between 16 and 17. And we marched all the way, it's 59 miles in one day, and I did it all right, and I kept seeing these men fall out, they pulled out from the ranks, the leader got them down, and I thought, what's happened to them? And I thought, well, right, the other men told me that they, you know, the leader got them down, but we got to Mullingar, and I was here under a year.
Well, asking you about Ireland a bit, were you aware of what was of the situation in Ireland?
No. We were very friendly with them, really. They're very, very poor. In Mullingar, I saw for the time, I'd never seen them, children without their boots or socks on, running the street bare feet. Dozens of them. I'd never seen it before. I'd never seen it in England. The people were very poor, you know, and they used to make what they used to call potato cakes. That was like a pancake. They used to mix up some flour and potatoes and fry them in the pan like a pancake and eat them with salt, you know, that pan potato cakes. But they were good. Yes, they were quite good. We used to go up their villages. I've never went to the houses, of course, but
so you weren't aware of any problems?
No, not where we were. Not even in Belfast. But while I was still at Mullingar, we had a sergeant there, Sergeant Haydock. I remember his names. He's a devil to you. And he's going with some girl in Mullingar town village. But he was rough, tough as he was, you know, nobody liked him. And we were up, Mullingar, we occupied an old convent, the barracks was an old convent, all stone steps and all, a very cold place. And Sergeant Haydock, he's going, one night, suddenly found a hedgehog at the back somewhere, he come down and put him in his bed, because he'd come in, we'd be going to bed about 10, you see, someone used to call him about 12. And all the fellas in the back were waiting for the sergeant to come home. Sergeant, hey, look, dark colour, so when he came, still got him in. Could, but he jumped out and got the in his head, you know. He swore, and got all the thing kicked him down the stairs. He never found out he put it there. Fire there. And one of the men called fire, and that was up about three or four stories. It was a very tall conference, you see. And a lot of the people couldn't get the troops couldn't get out, and we was all called out with the Adam fleet. He walked from the, and just a shirt on. He walked on the windowsill of the his back room, climbed up a rough sort of surface on there, and got to the roof, and jumped from the roof and saved his life that way. We lost quite a few fellows. They got burnt to death there, but not. And then we had right in the middle of the barracks. There was a square, like a green, as big as a football or cricket pitch, right in the middle of the barracks, four places down it. And we used to play cricket there. Well, I saw an incident there. I don't think I'd ever see it again. The tower on the side of the barracks was a four square with a clock. The clock was shown on the four, you see. And I saw it for the cricket ball.